Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, yeah. Don't put them by, let us unite, grab our life, oh, it's a beautiful day, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me, saying, son, turn it over to me, turn it over to me. I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your nail scarred hands. I want to live for you until my days are done. Sit and reason with the Lord, why he didn't take this painful part of my flesh. He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am imperfect. He wants me to stay on my knees like a potter. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, your perfect shot is what I need. I will set you by my pleasure to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me. Oh Lord, fight for me. Please fight for me. Oh, I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your name.
Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to have Pastor John Durden, and he's going to be bringing a powerful teaching on how Christ rewards overcomers. But before we get started with that teaching, we would like to thank those who have sponsored tonight's broadcast, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Turnip Seed, and Reverend D. Wallace. Would also like to thank churches that are listening out of North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, Texas, New Jersey, East Lansing, Michigan, California, Oregon, Florida, Alberta, Canada, Kingston, Jamaica, and also out of Havana, Cuba. We would like to thank all of y'all for tuning in and listening to us here tonight on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Now, we're going to go ahead and get started. Get ready to turn the mic to Pastor John Durden. Brother John, can you hear me?
I'm thinking about it. How you doing?
All right, sir. How are you?
I'm doing, thank you. Are you ready for me?
Yes, sir. We're ready for you.
Okay, good evening, everybody. It's good to be with you once more. And it's really a pleasure to share the Word of God with you once again. And as you all know by now, the Book of Revelation is my favorite. I don't know if anybody can hear me. Let me put this thing a little close to me. I had indicated earlier on this past session that the Book of Revelation is my favorite book in the Bible. I just love the Book of Revelation. So before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will empower me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And may our minds and spirits be alert and clear, and that our hearts will become receptive. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, disagreement, and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And Father, again, I pray that your words will bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence today. In the name of your divine Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to start off with a scripture. It comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And it says, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. In verse 20 says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden sticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Again, it's a pleasure to be before you this evening, and I want to share a few words before I really get into the teaching. I would like to say that Jesus' evaluations of his churches was like done 65 years after his resurrection. And this session tonight will disclose future events concerning the tribulations, God triumph over evil, Christ's return to reign on earth, and the blamelessness of the eternal kingdom. And Revelation is an address, y'all, to seven churches, which y'all know, in the Roman Empire of Asia. And I want to share some of those thoughts with you. These churches, as you know, were probably selected because they were representatives of the totality of churches of that day. And I want you to know that the word seven stands for complete wholeness. The word seven stands for complete wholeness. And what was said to them, I hate to tell you, is applicable to the whole church, even to us today. In other words, the seven churches represent all the churches, like I said, throughout the church age. And the seven spirits may represent the perfection and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And let's see what else I think is important. One, I'll give you a definition of overcoming. Looking into a biblical dictionary, I've looked at numerous and several definitions, but I like this one best. It says, an overcomer is one who, by the grace of God, received through faith in Christ, has experienced a new birth, and remains constant in victory over sin, the whole worldly system, and Satan. Let me say that again. An overcomer is one who, by the grace of God, received through faith in Christ, has experienced the new birth, being born again, and remains constant in victory over sin, the world system, as well as the devil. Now, the scriptures I want to share with you, you can go with me. I'm going to read these scriptures because it deals with the benefits of being an overcomer. The first one comes from Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And that reads, chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's in
chapter 2, verse 7, speaking to the church in Ephesus. And then God speaking to God, the Lord is speaking to the church in Smyrna. This is chapter 2, verses 10, 11, I'm sorry. Don't have my glasses on. It says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Then he sent a message to the church in Pergamos. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." And then you have the fourth church, that is the church in Thyatira. He says to the becomers, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Then the letter to the church in Sardis. And it says this in verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And then the sixth church, that's the church of Philadelphia. He says in verse 12, says this, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." And then the last church, number 7, the church in Laodicea. He says, we're talking about chapter 3, verse 21. He says to the church, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says." Amen. In chapter 2 and 3, which I just got to read in those particular scriptures, Jesus dictates, you know, a series of 7 letters to the Apostle John. And we know that he instructs what John to send letters to the churches in Ephesus, in Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And the cold truth of Revelation is that the Lord could return at any moment, and we need to be what? Ready when he comes. And we all been looking through all generations, we're still looking for him. So the central question of this teaching tonight is, what if Jesus wrote a letter to you dealing with the issues we face right now? How to live until he returns? The answer is, he has, in the book of Revelation. There are letters addressed to us as well. Listen at this. As you know, some theologians believe that the 7 churches represent ages of church history. We know that. This is all to us, even though he's written it at that time, but it's applicable to all of us to this day. And according to this view, we are now hot dog in the 7th age, represented by the church of Laodicea, yeah, to whom Jesus said, "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Now, these 7 letters were written in the 1st century, right? And however, they are still fresh and relevant in the 21st century. In every age and part of the world, folks, the Church of Jesus Christ need a message of admonition, exhortation, encouragement, and you know, what I want to focus on tonight is not the exhortation and what they did wrong and these kinds of things. I want to focus on what the benefits are as an overcomer, as an overcomer. Okay? The message also in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ himself loves values his church. We must get that. He did these. He written all these scriptures to us, and all these sayings to let us know that he loves us, he values us, and his church. His warnings and his edifications for believers and his churches throughout the age. It emphasizes what Jesus himself loves and values in his church, what he hates and condemns, the consequences of disobedience and spiritual neglect, the rewards for spiritual faithfulness to him, and how Christ rewards the churches that remains loyal. Let me go over that one time, and I'm sure what I'm going to focus on. His messages emphasize several things. What he himself loves and values in his church, what he hates and condemns, and the consequences of disobedience and spiritual neglect. And this is what I'm going to focus on tonight. The rewards for spiritual faithfulness to him and how he rewards the churches that remains loyal. Okay? What I want to focus on. I like this. If we studied and meditated on the messages, it will enable us to determine the following. You know, I was looking at these messages. I said, you know what? Not only does it give us what he loves, what he hates, and the encouragements he gives us and everything else and how he rewards us, there's some other information that can be drawn from his lecture to us. One, if we studied and meditated on the messages, it will enable us to determine what does Christ praise. What does Christ praise? He praises a church for not tolerating wicked persons, for testing the life and doctrine and claims of Christian leaders, for hating what God hates, and for overcoming sin, Satan, and ungodly world. Another point, how does Christ reward churches that persevere and remain loyal to him and his word? How? By delivering them from the time of trial that will come upon the whole world, by giving them his love, his presence, and his intimate fellowship, and by blessing them or us with eternal life with God. Another question I ask myself, what does Christ condemns? Well, even though this is not the focus tonight, I just thought I'd hit a few points. Christ condemns a church for diminishing an intimate personal devotion to himself and God. For departing, he condemns us for departing from biblical truth and facts. For allowing immorality among church leaders and persons of influence. For what else does God condemns? For substituting outward success and affluence for real spirituality, such as purity and righteousness and spiritual wisdom. And another thought came up. Well, how does Christ punish churches that decline spiritually and tolerate immorality? And I just want to touch on that right quick. He punishes such churches by what? By removing them from their place in God's kingdom, by withdrawing his presence, the power of the Holy Spirit, the true biblical message of salvation, and the protection of their members from Satan and influence. Is another point. How can churches avoid spiritual decline and the accompanying judgment by Christ? Again, how can we, our churches, avoid spiritual decline and the accompanying judgment by Christ? A review of the seven letters we just read reveal several ways. One, all churches must be willing to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We find that in Romans 5, 2, 5, and 7. All churches must be willing to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Secondly, the word of Jesus must always be the church to guide us. Okay, the word of Jesus must always be the church that guides us. His word, as revealed by the New Testament apostles through the Holy Spirit, is what? It's the guide by which churches must examine their beliefs and activities and renew their spiritual lives. Another point. Churches must continually examine their spiritual conditions before God. always, always, always. Now, what I want to do is get into the blessings that we receive as overcomers. Let's see. I want to start with the first church. That is Ephesus. Find that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. And you can follow along with me if you care. Here it is. Scripture, chapter 2, verse 7. He that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. A review of this passage, I came up with the following. Jesus promised what? That they will, when I say they, I'm talking about the overcomers like us, you know, they will eat from the tree of life. They will not be hurt by the second death. And we know what the second death, that's the eternal death into the lake of fire. You know, because we have the first death is when a person, we have what you call physical death. That's when a person died because of some ailment, you know. Then you have another kind of death where a person is dead spiritually. Then you have the third death where a person is into the lake of fire. But let me repeat this. They will eat from the tree of life. They will not be hurt by the second death, which is eternal. They will be given a new name in heaven. And we will have authority over the nations. And we, as believers, will not be removed from the book of life. Once that name's in that book of life, brother, it's there, unless you person just want to denounce the Lord and say you don't believe in him no more and you don't want anything to do with heaven, Jesus, anything else, because God respects our will. Again, their names will not be removed from the book of life. They will be honored by Christ before the angels. How about that? They will sit with Christ upon his throne, and they will forever be the children of God. Let's think. This just comes from Ephesus, the first chapter. Second chapter, verse 7. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. They will eat from the tree of life. They will not be hurt by the second death. They will be given a new name in heaven. They will have authority over the nations, and their names will not be removed from the book of life, and they will be honored by Christ before the angels, and I should say we will sit with Christ upon his throne, and we will forever be the children of God. That was the message to the church in Ephesus. And then we have the second one. That is the church in Smyrna, chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11 reads, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's applicable to every one of us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I go, okay, let me look into this. Reviewing my commentaries and these kinds of things, I come up with this. I say, this refers to eternal punishment, the lake of fire, which is talking about the second death, which only the faithful overcome will escape. We, as the overcomers, will escape. We will escape the second death, which is the lake of fire. These overcomers were devoted Christians. They were mocked and jeered and assaulted because of their faith in God. Some were even martyred, you know, killed because of their faith. And one bishop was burned at the stake, Polycarp. Can you imagine that? This refers to eternal punishment, the lake of fire, which only the faithful overcomers will escape. When I said they shall not be hurt by the second death. That is, if you die, you know, you can die spiritually. And then your second death is in the lake of fire. All right. And that was the church in Smyrna, the second church. Then we come to church number three. Excuse me. The church in Pergamos. The scripture says, chapter 2, verse 17, it says this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it. Commentary, Jesus will give what? The overcomers a white stone, known only to the receiver. He will give them hidden manna. He is the manna, the bread of life. White stone is eternal life. And black stone represent damnation. I had another little thing about that. Because I wanted to do some little bit digging on this one, Pergamos. Yeah. I did some more study on it. Now, the first part, I said, with respect to Pergamos, it said Jesus will give overcomers a white stone, known only to the receiver. He will give them hidden manna, and he is the manna, the bread of life. White stone represents eternal life, and black stone, damnation. Well, I'll look up some more stuff on the manna and the white stone and a new name. And this is what I found. I said, the person who overcomes by faith amidst terrible circumstances will receive hidden manna to eat. And I looked up hidden manna. And it says, the hidden manna and the white stone and new names are all prospective rewards for faithfulness to God. Hidden manna. The hidden manna recalls the food from heaven that what? Sustained Israel in the wilderness. Remember that? A portion of which was placed inside the ark as a memorial. And the reason it's called the hidden manna, because back in those days, you had some who was eating pagan food, eating pagan substance, which was sacrificed to gods and these kind of things. And so the promise is for those who refuse to compromise and partake of feasts of food that's sacrificed to idols. For those, there will be a better banquet in heaven. In other words, those us of believers, we will be given a better meal, better than the manna we had before, because what? Jesus is our Lord. He's our manna. And he will give us a banquet in heaven. We know a thing about the supper of the Lamb. It also suggests what? Special intimacy with Christ. You know, when you sit down and have family, dinner with your family kind of a thing, it means a whole lot. And so what he's going to do is sit with us. Now, the white stone, I kind of looked that up a little bit. I just wasn't satisfied just seeing the white stone. And the white stone, in John, talking about the gospel, in John's day, the white stone could signify acquittal from legal charges. In other words, a person in trouble with the law back in those days to give him a white stone, it represent that he was acquitted from what he was being charged of. Or the white stone could relate to the Greek athletic games, where giving a white stone to the victor in a contest, okay? That's another reason a person get a white stone back in those days. I mean, whatever race or whatever game he was in, he won, okay? Or a gladiator who won his freedom, attained his deliverance. So, you know, you had gladiators fighting for their deliverance, fighting to be free kind of a thing. And he was given a white stone, which represent that he's now a free man. Then you had the third part. It says, you'd be given a new name. Well, I looked up new name in all my commentaries, and it says, the new name, this symbols victory over the enemies of God and cannot be separated from him. A new name which identifies the obedient believer in terms of his or her distinctive character. So God's going to give us a new name, and it's going to identify the way he look at us, the way he reads our character, and it's going to be very distinctive. Amen. And we, remember, we must heed the warnings of the Holy Spirit. He continues to speak the same word Christ spoke to the seven churches, to overcome sin in the world. Sin in the world. Okay, let's see. Okay, we've got two sayings. Jesus will give the overcomers a white stone, which can mean victory. He will give them hidden manna, because back in those days, a lot of them was eating food that was idolized. And eat the manna, the bread of life. Okay. All right. Now, we look at church number four. the church in Thyatira. That comes as Revelation 2:26, and it reads, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations." To him will I give power over the nations. And I said this, looking at all my commentaries and everything, I looked at several of them, because I'm not satisfied with just looking at one. Here it is. I came up with this. I said, "As he that overcometh and keep my words unto the end, him will I give power over the nations." Jesus promised he will give them the morning star. He will give them authority over the nations. He will give us responsibilities, and they will reign with Jesus, and they will be dressed in white. You know, I think I did another little. I couldn't be satisfied with just that. So I did some more digging, and I did. First, I said, he will give what? Them the morning star. He will give them authority over the nations. He will give us responsibilities. We will reign with Jesus, and we will be dressed in white. Well, I came up with some more stuff. I said, well, okay, Lord. I look up some more commentaries and says, the message to Thyatira, it says, he or she who overcomes is further what? Identified as the one who keeps my works until the end. One who keeps my work until the end. To this faithful believer, Christ promises the privilege of ruling. Remember, he's going to be handling over nations. Well, I like this simplified version. It says, to the faithful believer, Christ promises the privilege of ruling and reigning with his kingdom and sharing in his royal splendor. Now remember, only those believers who are overcomers and who persevere in obedience to the end of life have the promise of being hot diggity dog co-heirs with the Lord Jesus. You see, and I will give him a morning star. And I kept on reading. I said, you can't pass that. And I go, what in the world you mean by a morning star? And and I will give him or her the morning star. I said, what on earth do we mean by the morning star? So what I do, grab up a whole bunch of commentaries again and everything else, and I came up with these findings. The morning star is Christ himself. You find in Revelation 22:16, for the overcoming believer, Christ's presence is the light. Christ's presence is the light, is the key word. Christ's presence is the light in the dark and difficult times before the dawn of the sun's coming. The morning star, where is that now? Let me go back. I will give him the morning star. Boom, the morning star. I will give him the morning star. The morning star is Christ himself in chapter 22, verse 16. For the overcoming believers, star pertains to light. Christ's presence is the light in the dark and difficult times before the dawn of the sun's coming. Moreover, morning star, again, refers to the faithful believers shared in the glory or splendor of Christ. Christ gives every faithful believer the privilege of being like him in royal splendor to various degrees. You find that in Daniel 12:3. You know, I say, okay, y'all say Daniel 12:3. I'm going to look up Daniel 12:3, and I did. Daniel 12:3 says this, those who are wise shall shine. There's that light thing again, the morning star. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, in other words, man, you preaching the word of God like you pastors and you bishops and you ministers and you evangelists and so forth and teachers. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Let me just repeat that again. Remember I said the morning star. He said he will give us the morning star, which symbol himself. But when I look at a few more, did some more digging, it says the morning star refers to the faithful believers shared in the glory or splendor of Christ. Christ gives every faithful believer the privilege of being like him in royal splendor to various degrees. And it says, and I'm in the writer says, I'm going to back it up with Daniel 12:3. I go, okay, I'm going to look up Daniel 12:3. And it says this, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And you know, the firmament is like the heavens, you know. And those who turn many to righteousness, those who turn many to righteousness, that's mean witnessing for the Lord, like the stars forever and ever. Okay, that was the fourth church, Thyatira. All right, okay. Now, let's see. He will give them, 226, okay. I said he will give them the morning star, which means they're going to be in the light. They're going to be rejoiced. They're just going to be blown away with his glory. He will give them authority over the nations, and he will give us responsibility. I got something else about that. Thyatira. I'll come back to it later. Okay, let's go to the next one. That was the church in Thyatira. And then we have the church of Sardis. The church of Sardis. Just Revelation chapter 3. Verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5, says this, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the Lord. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, what I got on there? I said they were spiritually dead at first. You had phony ministers and prophets and evangelists. They had excellent communication skills, and they had fine sounding statements of faith. They were walking with him. In other words, man, they were a bunch of croonies. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff, but he said, look, now I'm giving you guys another chance. Sardis, he says, what I want you to do is obey my word, change your life, repent. And what else did I have? I had something else I really loved when I was looking. Sardis. Okay, Sardis. Yeah, okay. I have here, folks, the message of Sardis. The white garment probably symbolizes, well, before I say the white, so I think I better read 3:5 one more time. It says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white. There it is. The same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. I got the white garment probably symbolizes the Lord's recognition of godly character and faithful service in this life. Now remember, the overcome shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot. Will not blot out his name out of the book of life. The white garment probably symbolizes the Lord's recognition of godly character and faithful service in this life. Godly character and faithful service in this life. Also, white is the color of the garments the redeemed will wear in the Lord's presence. I should have put that scripture down, but I didn't write it down. Doggone it. So what is the color of the garment the redeemed will wear in the Lord's presence? And with respect to the book of life, Christ will make sure the faithful believers' name and works are not erased, but remembered and honored. I love this part. With respect, he said, they will not be taken out of the book of life. Didn't I say that? I said, he that overcometh, same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And I got, with respect to the book of life, Christ will make sure the faithful believer's name and works are not erased, but remembered and honored. And the faithful believers will be confessed before the saints, the angels, and the Father by the Son. How about that? You stand up there before the Lord. He says, I got something for you. Come here, brother. Come here, my son. And it says, hey, saints, that's all the other believers up there, all around there from ages, from the first century on up. It says, the angels. And he said, he will confess before the saints, before all those zillions of angels, and especially before his Father. And he will confess you and say, this is my child. This is one of my overcomers. To have the Lord publicly confess one's name is to have the Lord's approval of one's character and service. So when he does this, when he say, hey, here's a pastor so-and-so, here's Reverend so-and-so, here's doctor so-and-so, here's bishop father, and all the saints going, wow, the saints from centuries past. And all those millions of angels who did not rebel against God with Satan and those all those fallen angels. And so I said, he will confess before the saints, those angels who did not rebel against Jesus and God, and the Father by the Son, to have them, I mean the Son of Jesus, going to talk to his Father. To have the Lord's public confess one's name is to have the Lord's approval of one's character of service. Can you imagine it? All those millions of believers, those millions of angels stand there and Jesus say, hey, Reverend Billy here, that's my man. He loves me and he served me. All right, that's the message of Sardis. Revelation 3:5. He that cometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Amen and amen and amen to that. That's the message to Sardis. Number 5. All right, you go to 6. All right, what does 6 says? All right, 6 is the Church of Philadelphia. Scripture, Revelation 3:12. 3:12 says this, and I read, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, Jerusalem, naturally, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Hey, he's going to write upon us his new name. Let's see. He will place before the overcomer, he will receive a new name. Okay. Let's see. Do I have anything else about that? This is Philadelphia. Oh yeah. I couldn't quit on Philadelphia. All right, here's some more notes I found on Philadelphia through some more of my commentaries. I got Philadelphia was a faithful church that kept Christ's word and did not deny him, y'all. He had endured oppositions. I'm talking about the believers. I say they. They had endured opposition from the world, and they resisted conforming to the evil trends of other churches. You know, hey man, we don't mind, you know, a man marrying another man. Hey man, we doing this because you know what the Supreme Court said that. So, well, you go ahead and do your thing, buddy. I know what God says. God is the ruler, not the Supreme Court. And after all, the only reason it was approved because what? The devil is the king, is the god of this world, right? So he gonna have his way. So when the Supreme Court approved it, and then the devil say, "I applaud you, my people, my children. I applaud you. I know what the Lord says, that a man should not go to bed with another man. But I duped you guys, and I had them crazy 12 Supreme Court justices to say it's okay. But God's word is rule. God's law is rule. He had endured oppositions from the world." And resisted conforming to the evil trends of other churches. Okay? They also had persevere in loyalty to Christ and the truth of the New Testament gospel. They also had persevered in loyalty to Christ and the truth of the New Testament gospel. As such, God promises to deliver them from the bad trials, meaning they will be rescued from the wrath to come. From the wrath to come. Okay, let me see. What did I say? I said somebody else said, I'm going to go there. And then go to Revelation 3:12 says this: He that overcometh will I make a... Did I just do that one? He that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. All right, let's go to another one. Let's see. Okay. The message to... we come to the last one. The message to Laodicea. Here we go. The promise... I want to read that one first. 7:7:7. Revelation 3:21. That's 20. Okay. 21 says this: To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Okay. 321, that's what it is. Okay, the message of this is this: the promises to the faithful Christian reach a climax as believers share the actual throne with Christ. Those, us folks, the believers, those who share Christ's victorious experience on earth will have a victory similar to his. What do you mean by that? The victory of Christ led to his present position at the right hand of God in heaven. And while the victory of believers leads to the privilege of sharing Christ's own earthly throne, we sort of shared, he says, I want you to sit with me. Just as Christ overcame with faithful obedience, a believer today will sit with Christ on the throne. I don't know what he means by that. I know good. You know, let me read that again. So just as Christ overcame through faithful obedience, a believer today will sit with Christ on his throne, however that means. But I got this. God's purpose in the church is to raise up co-heirs who will share Christ's authority in his kingdom. We as possible co-heirs must overcome as Christ did by persevering in the faith despite all the suffering that we've gone through. We just got to hang in there. Boy, just think about the Old Testament apostles. I mean, the New Testament apostles and the Old Testament prophets. They went through hell for their belief. I mean, beheaded, the whole nine yard kind of a thing. Let me see. I got about like 7 more minutes. Now, what I want to do, usually... Wait a minute. Did I step in the fence something else? Okay. Nope. All right. Now, what I want to do is give a summary. And you know what? The summary is going to last only 1 minute. I usually give a summary of other speakers, but I decided to give myself a summary. And it's this. The seven churches, Ephesus, Revelation 2:7, they are called the loveless church. And what was the promise to the overcomers in Ephesus 2:7? They will eat from the tree of life. Then you have Smyrna, Revelation 2:11. They are known as the persecuted church. They will receive the crown of life. Then you have Pergamos, the church of Pergamos. They're known as the compromising. They always compromise a bunch of stuff. They're called the compromising church. But guess what? Because they prevail, God says, I will give you the hidden manna and a stone with a new name. How about that? I will give you the hidden manna, a stone with a new name. Then you have this church of Thyatira. That's the fourth church. You find that in Chapter 2, verse 26. It's called the corrupt church. There's a whole bunch of crap in there. They rule, but they say, you know what? Those who overcome, because you always can repent, rule over nations, and you receive the morning star, and that's Jesus himself. You will rule over nations and will receive the morning star. Then we come to the fifth church of Sardis, chapter 3, verse 5. They're called the dead church. But you know what? God talked to them through that message. They repented and got their act together. And those who did are believers. And he says, those who are faithful and honored, you will be clothed in white. You will be clothed in white. And then you come to the church of Philadelphia. Revelation 3, verse 12, they're called the faithful church. There were two churches that the Lord found no fault in. That was the church of Smyrna, and it was called the persecuted church. Because those congregations, that pastor and all the other congregations, they didn't hang in there despite all the persecution. Oh, man, don't take all that. That's what they were always, don't take all that, don't take all that. But they hung in there. And you know what? And God titled that church the persecuted church, because they called hell for their beliefs for sticking with the Lord. But what did God give them? The Bible say they received, their members and that pastor received the crown of life. And then the other faithful church was the church in Philadelphia, Revelation 3:12. It was called the faithful church. And what? A place in God's presence. In other words, what did they benefit? They received a place in God's presence. And they receive a new name, and they got to live in the new city, New Jerusalem. They were called the Faithful Church. Again, there were two perfect churches. That was the Church of Smyrna. They called hell, but they hung in there, and God gave them the crown of life. And then the other perfect church was the Church of Philadelphia. They were called the Faithful, not the persecuted like Smyrna, but they were called the Faithful. From A to Z, they were faithful. And what happened? God said, I will give... they will receive a place in God's presence, and they will receive a new name, and they will get to live in the new Jerusalem. And then the last church is called Laodicea, found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. They were called the lukewarm church. Well, don't take all that. You know, I love the Lord Jesus. Love me to sign up for the Bible. Tell me so. Well, they repented. They were lukewarm, and after they received that message from John, Jesus, you know, and he sent those letters out to all those seven churches, and those folks got to act together. And Jesus says, okay, I'm on you now. You got to be an overcomer, okay? Don't let Satan trick you. Laodicea is called a lukewarm church. Sometimes they're hot, and sometimes they're cold. Sometimes they're up, and sometimes they're down. Well, God says, those who repent and sell themselves out, they shall share my throne. It says, share Christ's throne. Share Christ's throne. And then finally, Where's that? Okay, my time is up, and I hope you enjoyed the session tonight. And you can see I did a whole lot of midnight burning, but this is my favorite book. I've got to find something else to teach on the book of Revelation next Tuesday, because I love it. But I already talked on the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne. The great white throne judgment. Judgment seat of Christ is when believers go before the Lord who's already saved. It is being judged for naughty things they did, but they're not being condemned. They're just being sort of like spank, spank. Then you got the judgments, the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne judgment is where all, from first century on up to now, all unbelievers will stand before God to get to come to hear the condemnation of depart from me, I never knew you. I hope you enjoyed the session tonight, and God bless you. I'll try to find something else in the book of Revelation for next Tuesday. I'll let Brother Emmett know as soon as the Lord give me the subject, not my mind, but the Lord and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. You have it, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks. I'm going to get ready to open up lines and get some concomitant on tonight's teaching. Amen.
Hey, Mike.
All right. Yes, sir.
Reverend Snilton said he don't want to talk nothing about no hanky-panky.
Oh, Reverend, you said Smilton?
Yeah.
No hanky-panky? Smilton. Snilton. Oh.
Don't discuss that with him.
All right, well, tell them we won't talk about it, you know, unless somebody else, you know, wants to you know, bring it up. We'll leave it alone tonight.
Okay, let's open up lines. Let's go and get on 845.
Nope. No more hanky panky, guys. Cut that hanky panky. No more hanky panky. Reverend Smilton, please, brother. No more hanky panky.
No more no more.
Brother, brother John, always, brother. It's a good thing to learn here. I love learning about Revelation, and just so much revelation in that book. Period. I'm always enjoying every single teaching, brother. That you always bring. So I'm just blessed to. Listen on in, brother, and fellowship with you guys always, and taking notes, and I'll be listening to this again on the archive, brother. So, God bless you all. Love you guys.
Brother Sammy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother.
Hey, I'm sorry, Brother Sammy. I forgot the appointment at 8 o'clock. Please forgive me.
No worries.
I'm so
I'm
sorry.
Glad to be here. No worries. I'm just glad to be here.
We got you scheduled for Saturday night, right?
Yes.
Okay, tomorrow, Reverend Dawson and this group, we're going to be having a series, and I think everybody needs to come in here on this one. Wait a minute, he's telling me. They're trying to learn how not to use their mind. So tomorrow we're going to be going on how not to use your mind when it comes to spiritual things, how to turn it off, what fuels it, what get it going. There's squid spirits, slithers, these spirits moving and make you think you're racing spirits. Who you mind with? How you going to get over this? How you going to do this? How you going to do that tomorrow? We're going to eat. You remember you're in school and high school? And these things repeatedly bombard people, and sometimes people just think it's just them, but it's not. We're going to get an extensive in the mind starting tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday of the mind, and then we'll go back next week on Jezebel. This is Reverend Clarendon from Brother John Durden to Reverend Seward Clarendon, Inside Out. Well, wonderful teaching. Are you going to do the whole book of Revelation? Please bring me a comeback, Brother John.
I hope so. I already did some. I look back at some of the stuff I've done, you know. And like I said, I did the one on the rapture, and I did a previous message on the seven churches when I discussed all areas about what he liked and what he didn't like and so forth. So I'm trying to find something else that I hadn't talked on. Yeah, I plan to do the book of Revelation. I'm just trying to find a subject that I hadn't talked about because, I mean, I did a whole lot. I did about like 7 or 8 sessions on it, the Great White Throne Judgment, the Judgment Seat of Christ. And you remember I did one on the rapture, and I did one on the tribulation. My goodness, I almost covered the whole book. But let me check my archives and see what I hadn't talked about. But, yeah, next Tuesday is something else going to be on the book of Revelation because I just love myself some Revelation. Yes, sir. I plan to find something, and I'll give it to Brother Emmett as soon as the Lord give it to me. Okay? God bless.
Dr. Mosley saying, texting Brother Mike Inside Out. I'm Dr. Mosley. I'm very heavy. Very heavy. He said, it's the Durden, heavy Durden. You need to talk to me when your angle is going to come with the tabernacle, young man.
I did one on the tabernacle, remember? A couple of, look in the archives, Brother Emmett, when you have the chance. Yeah, I did one on the tabernacle just not so long ago. I think it was last Monday, month before last. I talked about all the articles and the furniture in the tabernacle and how they related to the Lord. Each object, each furniture talked about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got a confession here. Reverend Snookles wants to confess. He's been doing hanky panky, Brother John. He said he wanted to confess it. Get it over with.
Okay,
Could you hear me, Brother John?
Say that again, please.
Reverend Snookins wants to repent. He's been hanky-panky. He's been bothering his conscience since the last time he's been on. He said he want to get rid of it.
Well, Mr. Deliverance Minister, go ahead. This is you. If he wants to say the prayer.
No, he told me he wants you to say a prayer for him because he wants you to pray over him. And he says he's tired of hanky-panky.
Okay, my brother, just you don't have to say it out loud. Just say it in your spirit, okay? Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I am highly sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because I dread the laws of heaven, but most of all because I've offended thee, you my God and my Lord, and I just want to say that I'm highly sorry. I ask that you forgive me, and I come with a repentant heart and spirit to say that I love you, and I honestly am sorry, and I don't want that life anymore. So I come to you, Lord, and ask that you change me, change my heart, change my spirit. Come into me, Lord. Come into me, because I know once we keep doing this stuff, the spirit just can't just dwell in an unholy body. So, Lord, I ask that the spirit comes in me, receive, and I received the Holy Spirit, and I received the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior once again. Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to get my life back together, because I know you love me, and you don't want me to go to hell. And so I repent with all my heart, soul, and spirit, and ask for another chance, because I know that you are God of second and third chances. I thank you for my new life, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to have a sorrowful heart and to start all over my life again. I love you, Lord, and I vow to serve you the rest of my days, no matter how many are left. But I thank you. You've given me that opportunity, and I just thank you for it. I give you and only you all the praise and all the glory. And it's in your name, Christ Jesus of Nazareth, I dedicate myself to you totally, now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Okay, Big Mike, let's get 814.
All right. Area code 814.
Hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Good. I've been listening for the last a couple nights, and I'm been impressed with the broadcast. Tonight, how can I say? It was a refresher, but it's something I haven't heard about in a while, and I'm kind of wondering why I haven't. A long time ago, I was doing a lot of more intensive study on our reward, listening to a lot of Miles Monroe. That was a very long time ago. And out of all the different things being preached, I just haven't heard that message about the rewards for a really long time. I mean, as far as the main subject goes, you know, sometimes – you know, when somebody's reading one scripture or a group of scriptures, it'll be in there, but not really taught. And I'm thankful that I happened to land on this broadcast tonight. And I'm definitely going to have to look more at it. But for some reason, I don't know if it's just what I've been listening to or, you know, but for some reason that message seemed to be left out, and I haven't heard it for a while. So thank you and bless you.
Sir, can I ask you a question? What part of Pennsylvania? How far are you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
About an hour and a half. I'm in Cambria County.
But I'm a lawyer, still a fan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Been a still a fan for a long time. Love Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, have you heard of, we know we got a 24-hour-a-day internet radio. Are you familiar with Derek Prince?
The name's familiar, but I don't know much about that ministry.
Okay, are you familiar with Frank Hammond?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Author Pigs in the Parlor? Yeah, how about
Wayne
Worthy?
Yeah, I read that book.
Well, we have all of his archives on CD. We broadcast his sermons. We broadcast a lot of deliverance ministers' sermons, and you can go to www.livedeliverance.com, and you can listen to us 24 hours a day.
Okay. Wow, that Pigs in the Parlor brought out memories. I had a guy, I was at a Bible study, and I was kind of like still a baby Christian. And he walked in, and I didn't know he was a deliverance minister, but I guess he had a dream about going there. He laid hands on me and prayed, and he handed me that book. And that was my first major self-deliverance. So that was interesting you mentioned that. So, thank you.
Yeah, we have him on.
The
arc. Yeah, check us out. We have a 24-hour a-day internet radio station. This is just our feeder broadcast. We're only here on 9 o'clock, and then we off when it's over with. But we're live and streaming right now at livedeliverance.com. And if you go on, there's a Minister Candace Drayton, one of our assistants, on. And about another hour, we're going to hear some dynamic teaching from this apostle named
John
Eckhart.
Okay, I just wrote that down, though. Okay.
Yeah, go check us out. Check
great.
It out.
I definitely.
Yeah, man. And come
okay,
in the room
you.
Anytime. Tomorrow we're going to be teaching tomorrow on you can't use your natural mind to think things and to hear God. You can't hear God from the flesh. Your natural mind is not going to work. So we're going to do some teaching on how to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
God bless you. And welcome to Laptop Radio. Okay, I got a question from Reverend Stinton to Brother Michael. Reverend Stinton to Brother Michael. I don't have any understanding of trying to cast out demons, but I did do it, and I made it embarrassing myself. I told her to come out, but I didn't have the authority in the name of Jesus, and that demon made me look real bad. I walked out of my church with no clothes on. I'm very embarrassed. Could you please give me some words of uplift?
Brother, I'm gonna tell you like this. If you're gonna know, Brother Emmett just said it pretty much. You can't try to cast a demon out, you know, using your natural thinking. It's not gonna work. You're gonna have to rely on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you it sounds like you end up like the sons of Sceva. When they tried to, you know, cast out the devils out of that man, and the demons ended up jumping on them and beating them all naked, the same thing happened to them. You can't use or you can't go by your own authority when casting out of the demon. You have to use the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and you can't. So it's not gonna come out, you know, by what you know, from a natural standpoint or from a fleshly standpoint. You're not going to be able to use like your carnal knowledge or wisdom to cast it out. You got to rely totally on spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and you have to make sure that you go about it with a you've repented of your sins, and you got to make sure that you're right before the Lord yourself, because if not, that demon's just gonna that demon knows exactly what you've done and what you're doing, and it's going to expose you and it's going to embarrass you. Because it knows exactly what you've done. Because, truth be told, you know, everybody, I mean, all of us, you know, there's somewhere, whether you want to admit it or not, all of us have demons in us somewhere, you know, dwelling within us. And, you know, they will expose you. So I would say, brother, if you're going to go about this, make sure that you're right before the Lord. Confess your sins and try to walk and live a holy lifestyle. Your theological degrees aren't going to cast out a demon. Your carnal knowledge is not going to cast out a demon. It's the power of Lord Jesus Christ that's going to cast out that demon. He's going to use you as the vessel through which it occurs, but you got to move yourself out of the way. So that's the best thing I can tell you, brother, is just make sure that you're right, and you ask the Lord, you know, to use you when you're doing a deliverance.
Hey, ain't no better way you can say that, Pastor, because these demons, they know your mind. They know what you think. They know what gets you upset. Because if your life is not hidden in Christ, they're going to tie you up. Your life is hidden in him, according to Colossians 3:3. And this is why a lot of people don't want to get into this ministry. This ministry ain't nothing to play with. So you can't fake this. You can't fake this.
You can't
fake this. And you got, it's so sad to see some of these people on these radio stations talking about come out doing some, come out in the name of Jesus, and come out next. That don't work like that, man. It takes time to work with a person with deliverance, and you better have the nine gifts. It's impossible to cast out demons without the nine gifts. I don't care what you tell me. You ain't got no gift. You don't need to be dealing with it because you ain't going to be able to know what's what. They love emotions. They like to see you get upset. Tapuapis. Writes everything down of you. He know what you do in the world. He know what type of sin you got. Sends it to another spirit. And they work on you. So to deal with that, you got to be in Christ, Bubba. It took a lot for the anointing. I'm not sitting here. I'm a very humble man. I don't like no credit for nothing I do because they call me the errand boy. But I can tell you something. The anointing comes with a price, and people ain't willing to pay for it. And if you want to get in this ministry, you can't be using your natural thinking and your intelligence. Man, they'll tear you up. I had a demon tell me one time, would you please get back in your GDMF mind, boy? Get back in the GD mind. You're praying in tongues. I don't know what the hell going on, boy. I actually heard that. So if you don't build yourself up in the spirit, you ain't no way you're going to deal with demons. Demons will tear you apart. And so y'all get caught up in how it sound and how it's going on. That don't mean nothing. All that is a smoke screen to get you caught up so much in that you cannot deal with demons like that. They're masses of diversion. Masses of diversion. It takes the Holy Ghost to pick them off. All right, this is from Reverend Shepherd to Brother Mike. Well, Reverend Shepherd said he ain't casting out a damn thing tomorrow from what he told you, what he learned tonight. He said he ain't got the ability to do this, and he's not going to do it, Brother Mike. Give him a comeback, please.
And, brother, that's up to you. Whether you want to or not, hey, that's totally up to you. But I guarantee you, sooner or later, somebody, whether in your congregation or not, you're going to come across somebody with a demon, and that demon is going to be going to tear you apart. You're going to be wishing that you had taken the time to this ministry and learn deliverance and those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because when that, it might be think it's just because it's a spirit, doesn't mean that that spirit ain't going to use that person in the physical to accomplish whatever his will or his goal is. And if that goal is tear you apart, embarrass you, hey, brother, I just pray for you the best. You better go ahead.
Demons know you.
Uh-huh.
They know you. Yep. They know you. Paul and Jesus, I know. But who are you? See, they know what type of power you got. They know you don't read the Bible. They know you don't pray in tongues enough. They know you don't meditate. If they know you don't do these things, they'll love to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus didn't have to do that because he was the Son of God. You're dealing with unseen forces, evil creatures. I had them five things say some real negative stuff one time, and the Lord told me, don't pay no attention to what they say. The first thing God taught me when I started doing delivery, he said, don't pay no attention to what they say. And ever since God told me that, I don't care how they sound. I done heard them growl. I done seen people crawl. I done seen eyes roll back. I've seen people get levitated off the bed. I've seen people bowel movement on themselves. I've seen people urinated and drink the urine. I've seen people throwing defecation. You can't deal with these things in your natural mind, Bubba. Reverend Slitman, to brother, during this Reverend Slitman. Well, my God, I don't want to mess with them. He said, tell Brother John, give him a comeback. He don't want to deal with this ministry, Reverend Slitman. He said, Brother John, he don't want to deal with it. He don't want to cast out no demons.
You don't want to cast out no demons, huh?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, to each his own, you know.
Have the ministry that God need and pray about it.
Reverend Pickett just said to you, Brother Durden, why don't you support hooping? You don't never support hooping. You don't like hooping. Well, you used to be a hoop at one time, I bet. That's what Reverend Marcus said. Please bring come back.
No, I never was a hooper. It didn't impress me because I wanted to just try to really learn the Word of God, and that really turned me up. You know, sometimes when I was trying to find what church to go to when I was in my 20s, you know, 30s, when I was seeking God, and that didn't hoop. About every Wednesday I would go to a different church. Let me see, Sunday, I would find out who happened at 8 o'clock service. I'd go to that one, and then somebody else had 11 o'clock. I'd go to that church. Man, I was ripping and running. And on Wednesday night, I would go, and on Friday night, man, I had a calendar showing all over the city who had Sunday morning service, who had Sunday night service, who had Wednesday night service, and who had Sunday night service. Some had said, man, I was going on trying to find it. And to be honest with you, the ones I went with, a guy was hooping. I said, I'm not learning anything. All he's doing is showcasing. I didn't learn anything, you know, because, you know, I want to learn. I don't want to be impressed, you know. And so it just never touched me, and the Holy Spirit never led me to go into church. Because all church I went to, I go, Lord, I wish I knew. Because he said, yeah. And I go, yeah, well, what? Oh, you can, yeah, and the Lord. And, you know, and that doesn't teach me anything. So that just... it's not for me, brother. And remember, when you get up in that pulpit, you're supposed to be teaching the Word of God. You're not there to entertain and sing songs and jump and hoop and stuff. You're there to teach the Word of God. And then one final point. Now, I remember when I was a chaplain at the hospital for 15 years. Do you know my job as a chaplain was to visit those special ones who were in there for the first time, and I'd go and talk to them, to identify myself and everything else. And I always end by saying, sweetheart, sir, if the Lord decided to pluck you out now, where would you go? You know, and look at me. What you mean by pluck me out? Pluck me out, Chaplain John? I said, if he decided to end your life on this earth, and when you go before him, and he asks you, why should I let you in? What would you say? Well, I hope, and I'm not lying, at about 80% to 90% always said to me, I hope. Then I grabbed him. I said, give me a hand. I spank him on the hand. Why are you spanking me, Chaplain John? I said, because you said a bad word. I didn't cuss. I said, you said I hope. You don't suppose to hope about your salvation, dear? Well, I sang in the choir for 20 years. I taught Sunday school for 15 years. All I did this. I played the piano. I'm the choir director, you know, for the last 10 years. I said, you just tell me what your position and status in the church. You didn't tell me how you got saved. And it's the same. I mean, I'm going every Sunday. Then I'd tell them, you know, 1, 2, 3, no, salvation is repenting. Ask God to forgive you all your sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, I ain't tell you. He just said, he had me thinking that if I joined the church, I was saved. And, you know, I had that same thing happen to me, too, because for 20 years when I was sitting in my little Methodist church down in Savannah, Georgia, I thought he would say, yeah, come on and join the church and be a member of God's family. And then when I moved up here in Atlanta and joined this Baptist church, same thing they were saying to the past. Come join the church and be a member of God's family. And we go up there, I join the church and say, now you're a member of God's family. No, I wasn't. I was a member of the church family, but not God's family. See, he didn't say nothing about it. We had to receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And he always tuned out, going on, the Lord said, you know, he'd say his little sermon, Jesus love, Jesus love, Jesus forgive, you know. And that's what he do. So I'm going to shut up because I know other people got questions to ask. But no, the hooping doesn't do anything. Hooping is just showing off. That's all it is. Teach the word. That's why he called you in the ministry.
Okay, this is from Bishop Melton Walker calling Inside and Out. You are a different pillar, Durden. Please bring me come back. You're a different pillar.
Well, I don't know what you mean by a different pillar, but all I just want to say is that I just want to serve the Lord. And I want to see God gave some people, God give the gift of teaching, some the gift of preaching, some the gift of singing, some the gift of this and that. My gift, if y'all want to know, my primary calling is salvation. Whenever I see somebody in that hospital or on my job, the first thing hit me, say, John, they don't know me. The Holy Spirit would tell me they don't know me. And then I would say, hey, how you doing? And I talk to them. And before I know it, they told me, Brother John, can I talk to you about the Lord? And everywhere I go, the Lord will have me saving somebody. Because like when I was in hospital, those 12 years, God would tell me who was dying or who really was searching him, and I would go to that particular room. Before I leave, that person would give themselves to the Lord. That's what it's all about, you know.
Amen.
It's salvation. That's why he got us. You're a minister because God wants you to minister to those people. He don't want nobody to go to hell. So I ain't got time to go in there and hoop and holler and show out and do all these other things. Man, I would teach the word about salvation. I teach the Bible, but always end up with my teaching or sermon is how one gets saved, not by being an active member in the church and singing in the choir for 30 or 40 years, playing the piano and all this stuff. Salvation is accepting Christ as the Lord and Savior and repenting, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned, see? Even a liar going to hell. So, you know, every night before I go to bed, I always say, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins that I may commit it today knowingly and unknowingly, you know, because I don't know the Bible perfectly. So I
Amen.
Them, see? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Erico, 845.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yeah, 845, I got word of knowledge. Can you hear me?
Amen, brother. Yes, I can hear you, brother.
The Lord has sent me the spirit of lust is trying to attack you.
Oh, brother, all the time.
Yeah, I just heard it.
The
spirit
time,
of lust. Are you
brother.
Going through that?
Yeah, brother. All the time, brother. At work, it's a lot, brother.
The Lord just told me.
A lot of.
All right. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
The word of God says.
The word of God says.
Flee ye youthful lusts.
Flee ye youthful lusts.
2 Timothy 2:22.
2 Timothy 2:22.
I take authority over this spirit.
I take authority over this spirit.
And I ask it to lead me now.
And I ask it to lead me now.
I break away from this demonic spirit.
I break away from this demonic spirit.
Now, I want you to blow, because you're a church member. Start blowing. Come on out of here. Blow it out. Come on out. Spirit of lust. Come on out. Come on out. Stop attacking him. Come on out, lust. Come on out, pornography. Come on out. Temptation. Come on out. Come on out, pornography. Come out, temptation. Spirit of temptation. Leave him in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you for your blood.
I thank you for your blood.
And I thank you that I got this message from the Aaron boy.
And I thank you that I got this message from the Aaron boy.
You get all glory.
You get all of the glory.
And honor.
And honor.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Go in peace. Brother Mike, I got word of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
We got to pray with your wife, man. The devil really attacking her on her job.
Oh, hold on. She can hear you. Hold on. Felicia.
I just got that from the Holy Spirit.
First
lady.
She can hear you.
First lady, can you hear me?
She can hear you.
Okay. Tell her I got word of knowledge that she's being attacked by her job. Is that the Lord?
Yeah.
All right, Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus with these attacks. We come up against the spirit of separation, division, hate, anger, and malice that come up against her. We come up against spiritual persecution from serving Christ on the Sabbath. We send back that to the sender in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. We come up against the spirit of hatred in the name of Jesus. We come up against the spirit of racism in the name of Jesus and send it back to the sender. We ask that you put a hedge of protection around the pastor's wife, according to the book of Job 1:9. We ask for aid as angels, that Mike is archangel, when contempt about the body of Moses does not bring in a real accusation, but say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Satan, the Lord rebuke you from her job. The Lord rebuke you from her presence now. The Lord rebuke you out of her house. We come up against any spirits that would attack her because her husband is a deliverance minister. We come up against Python spirits that will try to choke off revelation and bring separation. We come up against the spirit of fatigue. I see fatigue, tiredness. It comes from mental wear now. Mental wear now. In the name of Jesus, you will not attack this sister no more on her job with that. We cast down every imagination and every thought and bring all those thoughts into the captivity of obedience of Christ Jesus. Pure precious spirits, we renounce you to go and to leave her in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. The spirit of jealousy will be removed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Spirit of jealousy, spirit of confusion, spirit of talking as busybody spirits, we command you to leave her alone. And Father, build a hedge and bring angelic protections so that she will not endure this attack anymore. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
She heard you, brother.
Okay. Reverend Stillmore to Brother John. What was going on, Brother John? I don't know now. What's happening here? Come back, please, Brother John.
I'm trying to gather what you trying to say with the few comments you made. Oh, you said what's going on? I guess what's going on is that
he's not used,
the Lord.
He's
huh?
not used to the word of not. He don't. He's not used to the word of knowledge. He never
he's
saw
talking
that.
About, oh, okay. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about the gifts that God give each believer, especially the pastors and the ministers and the in the church, because God wants us to use those gifts to bring people into the Lord, to bring people into repentance, you know, because just to go into church and stand behind the pulpit and say, the Lord says he loves you, the Lord says this, and all, that's fine. But you know what, back up to what you said, when you said the Lord says, and you got the spiritual gifts to back it up, they say, you know what, Tesh, I really believe the gospel, because this man said so and so and so, and do you know he told me about my life? Do you know he told me that was going on in my spirit? He told me what's going on with my family member kind of thing. Those are word of knowledge, and it's open to all of us. But you know what? Satan knows that too, and so he has all the modern-day prophets and ministers say, hey, that's for the old time and the old and Jesus days, but that's not for us today, because we have his written word. And the written word says to cast out demons and ask for the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the gift of healing and miracles. That's still for us today. And Satan got 90% of the ministers not believing that. That's how, well, you know, he's the God of this world, and he's controlling almost what people believe down here on this earth, you know. But so that's what it is, word of wisdom and word of knowledge, especially word of knowledge. And sometimes God was just stepping in. That changes a person. Lord, the man didn't know that. That had to be God. And then a person would change his life, because now they see that God is real. God is real.
That's right. Okay. We got one from... Okay. I heard... Oh, this is from me, Pastor Overton. I heard that you don't recognize evangelists unless they cast out demons. I've never cast out demons. Would I be considered an evangelist? No, ma'am. You have to cast out demons. Philip is the only evangelist in the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:1, you can check into that. And Philip the evangelist is in Acts 8:5, ma'am. Let me give you just a little taste of this. We got 25 minutes and you're in the ministry. So you're asking, I pray for correction. And we're going to allow the Word of God to make that correction. So in essence of the question that you asked me, do you consider yourself an evangelist? I got to find, I had a teaching on it. Okay, no, you're not an evangelist. And I'm going to show you biblically why. You can't be a half an evangelist. You have to do the description of what the Bible says that an evangelist must do. In Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Then in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set in the church first apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps and governments and diversities of tongues. The word evangelist occurs only three times in the New Testament, ma'am. It occurs in Ephesians chapter 4:11. Then it occurs again in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. The Bible speaks of Philip the evangelist. And then it speaks of it again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Paul told Timothy, who was the pastor of a new church testament at the time, to do the work of an evangelist. And the work of that evangelist is in the Bible. In Acts chapter 8, we see the evangelist in operation in the first century. So, ma'am, you got to speak in tongues. You don't even speak in tongues. You don't have the power. My God. Boy, I think you out there when you're not really ready. I don't want to give your name away to protect who you are. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, then Philip, that's the evangelist I just showed you in the three previous scriptures. That's all only three of them in the Bible. Three teachings of the word evangelist. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You have to preach. And people with one accord giving heed to those things, hearing and seeing miracles. So you got to preach and you got to have miracles so people can see them. And then you got to cast out demons. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the parsley, and they was lame and were healed. So healing got to follow you. The minister of deliverance got to follow you. And ma'am, I just got word of knowledge. You don't even speak in tongues. You've been on the Reverend shouting. He's a hooper. You got to come out of him. Reverend Shouting is a great nothing. You've been performing, ma'am, and you need to really sit down and get some power. Acts 1:8, you're not recognized as an evangelist, ma'am. You're under Reverend Shouting. He's a great nothing. He believes in the teachings of Hank Hanegraaff to his fullest, and you'll be omitted the power of Christ with that type of doctrine. You can please call me at air code 444-619-522 if you'd like for me to assist you and send you some materials and that you learn the correct way and remove that spirit of error, 1 John 4:6. Okay, one more. Clifton Roberts to Brother Mike. Reverend Clifton Wallace to Brother Mike. What's the most horrifying thing you have ever encountered doing a ministry of exorcism? And what's the most, wait a minute, what's the most amazing thing you saw when Apostle Overton and Apostle Durden doing deliverance? Have you noticed anything peculiar that you've never saw before? I've never seen a deliverance. Could you please give me what you have experienced with such humble people?
To be honest with you, every time I've been with them on a deliverance, it's been like a learning experience, because the word of knowledge that actually goes forth, that they receive is just like I was going forth tonight. The brothers and sisters that I've seen do deliverance and so on, whenever the spirits that are, you know, manifesting and coming up, they're real stubborn at times, and they don't want to reveal, you know, what their purpose is, you know, or how they got into the person or where they came from into that person's life. And, you know, Brother M and Sister Dirt, you know, they'll pray in tongues and they rely heavily on the gifts of the Spirit, you know, especially word of knowledge. And, you know, Sister Dirt, and she may pray in 10 tongues, or Brother Emmett may pray in tongues, but he'll pray until, you know, the Lord reveals to him the name of the Spirit. And then as soon as he reveals the name of the Spirit, you know, the Spirit, you can tell it has a reaction, because they start getting mad, they start growling, or they start cursing and calling them out their name, because of the fact that what they tried to hide was exposed. And you know, it's got to be the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know, the demons, I mean, these are names that I promise you I've never heard of in my life, but you know, word of knowledge, you know, goes forth, and the Lord will give Brother Emmett, you know, the names of the spirits. And like I said, the names that you probably never heard of in your life, you know, it's forth. And like I said, these two, they work hand in hand, you know, with in his ministry.
And the spirits, man, they can't stand them. I'm a witness to that. They cannot stand them. So it's truly a blessing to see them work, man, because they get them out and they get them exposed. And you know, a lot of people have been, you know, they've received a lot of healing, you know, because they work together and they work good together, you know, as a team in the ministry of deliverance.
Okay, I got another one from Sister Nancy McDonald. Have you ever done a Satanist, Brother Mike?
Have I ever? No. Well, I, me personally, no. I've been a witness to a deliverance with that. I believe she was a former Satanist, this person. But yeah, it was an experience.
So
well,
they something else. Yes, Lord, they kick up, man. Them spirits be working, boy.
Yeah,
I had a witchcraft spirit. Big Mike was so foul. It says, I bet you want to bump with Sister Durden, right? I looked at that thing. I said, you foul spirit, I command you to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You got quiet.
Yeah.
They'll try you. You got to fight back. It's a backwards and forth. And we're going to open that up tomorrow on the Ministry of Deliverance. How to not to use your mind doing deliverances, teaching the Bible. Reverend Dawson wanted to open this up. Brother John's going to summarize. Well, let me make sure, because he said he was, but I don't know. He's gone off the air. So he's going to summarize it, and we're going to let everybody know tomorrow. Okay, that's it for tonight. Big Mike, close us out, and let's go home.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word tonight. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Father, continue to bless those, Father, who have started coming in, who are listening, you know, to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. We would like to thank those out there, you know, who've tuned in, Father, and that we ask that you would just them, Father, for, Father, we know that people need deliverance, Father, and we know, Father, that deliverance comes by you, Father, and that life needs to be healed, Father. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Amen and hallelujah.
That's it for tonight. God bless.